the Buffalo Sabres in town tonight. So Mar in the morning, just after 8 o'clock. But right now, always fun to have our next guest stop by for a little visit. He is a former Buffalo Sabre, as we all know very well, and is a friend of the show because former teammate of Warner's. But no Warner today. Rob Ray, color analyst with the Sabres, joins us. And your buddy No showed this morning. Now, he sent me a text last night kind of giving me the heads up that there was a better than 50-50 chance that this might happen. You were with the turkey last night. What shape was he in? Is he rightfully absent from the show today, or could he have manned up and actually made it in here?
Well, this is just typical of Rhett Warner. He's very irresponsible, and you think most people mature when they get older, but obviously Rhett is still kind of plateaued at about 20.
Yeah.
I drove home. I don't know what time it was because, I got to have a truck. I got to have my truck. I'm like, take a cab. I need my truck. So I had to get a cab, follow it to his house, dropped him off, put him in the chair in front of his door, pushed the button, got in the cab, and I came back to the hotel. So I don't really know where he is. Maybe he's still sitting on his front step.
Well, here's hoping, you know. And that, so you saw his truck. What a gem that thing is, isn't it?
Well, I don't talk about other people's stuff, okay? That's like talking about somebody's wife.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Important to them.
And
I drive an O2 Saturn.
Yeah, that's right. Is that the one you had the dead deer in, or was that in another car?
Yeah.
That's the one?
But I put 2 new snow tires on the front of her this year. So.
Oh, nice.
Had a good year.
She's a beaut. She's a beaut, Razor. And I guess the last thing.
So what do you want? I'm sleeping here. It's like not even whatever time.
Yeah, it's just about 8, but I mean, it's a game day. What time? You're going to morning skate. You'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Have you watched our team play?
Well, we talked to
there's
like
nothing.
Yeah, we
there's
talked.
Nothing I could go to practice and find out about our team.
2 months ago, it seemed like the Flames and Sabres were going to be in a battle for that last spot, who was going to get the first overall pick. You called it then, and you were bang on. There's no touching the Sabres when it comes to futility this year.
This is probably the only good thing they have done all year is maintain this position, yeah. No, I think after the trade with Ryan and Otter that it kind of ripped the life out of this team, and, you know, they got some good return, and they got some guys that at the deadline that are going to help this team. But, you know, I think everybody right there realized what it was all about. They work hard, they come out, they try, but it's just, you know, it's just night to night. It's just the lack of, I don't want to say, but talent, you know, that it just gets them in that position where they're able to maintain.
Yeah.
They're always battling that. But, you know, as an organization, they're pretty content, you know, with finishing in this position and rolling with it.
Well, and you look at the work that Tim Murray has done, and especially when you saw what Vanek and what some of the other players brought in as far as returns. The moves made by the Sabres team, whether it was Regier earlier on in the season or now Tim Murray, they look to be in really great shape. And right now we watch teams like Colorado, especially, a team that picked first overall last year. Now, not to say that the Sabres are going to be in a playoff spot next year, but this is how you start to build, and you wonder if the long, painful rebuild could be expedited because they've already taken a couple of highly drafted kids last year. They have a lot of good-looking prospects in the cupboard, and how about all these draft picks coming up in each of the next 2 seasons?
Well, that's our only saving grace right now, and then I wouldn't expect Tim Murray to draft all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than anything, he's going to use a lot of these picks to bring in guys or young guys that are already playing, probably in the minors or a pro. You know, an example is at the deadline, trading McNabb for Nicholas Deslauriers. Excellent, excellent young kid that got excellent speed, great size, good hands, use them on the point, the power play. I think that's the kind of guy you're going to see start coming in. Yeah, maybe pick the kids that, you know, if you get the first overall this year and who knows what after. But after that, I think use a lot of those. I think it's about 15 picks in the next 2 to 3 drafts in the top 2 rounds. So that's how he's going to do it. He's not going to just draft those kids and let them mature. He's going to obviously, draft some of them, but majority of them, I think he's using those picks to try to get them kids that are already got a year or two under their belt. And yeah, we've got some good young guys coming up. Zadorov is playing on London right now, a heck of a defenseman. Ritsalainen just came back from the minors. He's played the last couple games. He's looked great. Pezic that's in the minors right now. All these kids are going to be huge parts of this team. But, there's still an awful lot here that he needs to weed out before you're going to look at this team to say that it's not going to be battling for the bottom again.
Yeah. Ted Nolan, from what we're hearing within the media, offer a contract extension is on the table. It's not been signed or done yet. What do you read into that? Do you expect Nolan to be the guy starting next year?
Yeah. Teddy's going to be here probably for the next 3 years, and he's going to be the person in charge. And you know, he's earned it, and the guys love him. The players in the room love this guy, and he comes in. He's brought some of these kids that were so down and out, you know, your Myers, your Ennis's, and Staffords, and guys like this. Now we're actually sitting here talking that, you know, Drew Stafford's probably one of the most consistent players on the team right now, and Ennis, doing a heck of a job. These guys have scored like 5 of our last 7 goals on this team, and you know, carrying it offensively. So, and Myers as well on the back end. So. He's done a great job. He's going to have that extension. It's just a matter of, finalizing all the wording in it, and he will be that guy. So, and he's happy about it. He's a little older now, so he looks at things a lot differently, and he understands that it's going to take some work, and yeah, it's almost like you got to walk by him tonight, man. Keep your head up, because mm-hmm. he takes it to heart. You want to win, but it's just a reality that it's so difficult to do it right now that you just feel for them sometimes.
What do you see happening with the goaltending spot? Because obviously Miller goes out, Halak comes back, but then he's shipped out as well. Michael Neuwirth, Jonas Enroth. Do you see? Let's say 3 years from now, do you really anticipate one of these guys being the number one in the net?
3 years from now, I would say probably not. We actually had to use Luen last game too in the third period. Kid they just brought up, and he did a heck of a job. So we have actually three goaltenders on our team right now that haven't been here a month ago. I think that these guys are both guys in a backup position. And talking to Jonas the other day in Long Island, he was like, "Yeah, I finally got my chance to be that guy." And I think these guys have been in that frame of mind for so long that, hey, you're just going to be the second guy and backup, that you almost buy into that sometimes. And for Jonas, I don't know if he's going to be that guy that could play, you know, your 60 games a year if you needed to. Not a big guy. He's a small guy. And, you know, you see it a lot now where he's getting tested up top an awful lot. And, you know, I just think that he could get wore down. And Neuwirth is a guy that, 2 games now, he's faced 99 shots in 2 games, and he's done a great job with it. But another one of those guys that I'm just not sure if not just content with being that. So, you know, I think they're good enough now to get the team through. I think it's the fourth step to start saying, hey, okay, now we're going to start challenging for, some type of a playoff position that the goaltending would be addressed. Mm-hmm.
Last one for you, and I think I know the answer. Who paid for dinner last night between you and Warner?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Calgary boys stepped up.
Good.
They did. There was probably 6 or 7 of them that had come through the Sabres organization, and they wanted to take Rip Smonick, our trainer, out. And so, you know, along with myself and Brad May, and, you know, we had a good group. But, yeah, they did. It was amazing. I was totally shocked because that is totally out of the character of a lot of those guys. So it was nice.
Maybe people can change, Razor.
Seriously.
Yeah, maybe people can change.
No. I seen a good example that, yeah, there was a couple cases there that they hadn't changed. So
yeah.
Let's not give them too much credit.
Always good to talk to you. Warner couldn't make it in for his 2-hour work day, but you answered the bell. We appreciate it. Have a good one.
Hopefully he didn't roll off into the little creek that runs in front of his
That's
house.
That's right, yeah, that'd be terrible. Thanks, Razor.
He's riding a little iceberg down the creek.
Have a good one, buddy.
Yeah.
You betcha. There's Rob Ray, former Sabre and part of the broadcast crew, and also apparently responsible for taking Rhett Warner home last night. And there's no fun in that. You think, oh, let's see, go see where he lives and see his hat. No, there's absolutely no joy in taking that booze bag home when he's had too much. I can tell you that.